All right, y'all bow with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you on this beautiful feast day, Father. We are so thankful and just thrilled to be here, Father, amongst people of like mind and like faith. Father, I pray that you guide my words, that they be your own, that the truth come forth, and that it sink into the hearts of your people, Father. And anything that is of mine, that is wrong, that is an error, that it just goes by the wayside unnoticed, Father. And we just give you thanks for all you do. We pray that you continue to keep this congregation healthy, that you have mercy on those people who couldn't make it, Father, that you bless them, and that you strengthen them for the next time, Father. And we just give you thanks, praise, honor, and glory. And we love you in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. Yeah, I guess I should have given Jose the title. Ooh. Well, it's up there now, so you can see it. So, this is day two, technically. But it's already been really great. We've got some really, really awesome, wonderful people from all over the world. And I know last night I spent long hours, longer than I should have, talking about Yahweh's word, his triumph in our lives. But the feasts are an anomaly. All of them. It's easy to speak of Yahweh's goodness when we're all riding this high that is the feast. You know, everybody's energized. Everybody's on the same page, right? It's easy to think about how good Yahweh's been in your life when everyone around you is doing the same thing. Now, that's not to say it's perfect by any stretch. And it won't be perfect until Yahshua returns to set everything exactly straight. And that's really the crux of the issue. That's really what I want to address. The title is Victorious in Virtue, Defeating the Enemy by Doing Yahweh's Will. And I think that's something that we need to do more of in our lives. The mundane week-to-week issues kind of seem to melt away, right? The issues you face back home, they're back home. You're not there right now. You're here. You're at the feast. Your mind is on Yahweh. Your mind is on the brethren. Your mind is on serving one another. At least it should be. Your mind is on that brisket, right? Your mind is on good things that Yahweh has commanded us to do. But the reality is, when the feast is over, those issues are still there. And I want to ask the question of everyone here today. Are you working for Yahweh despite the enemy's schemes and attacks? When we're all here, cleanup comes around, right? We're all throwing in, pitching in. It's great. It's a shadow of things to come, right? It's a shadow of Yahweh's people serving in the best way they can, right? Serving one another, having someone that's scooping out oatmeal for people in the morning. You know, that's a joy to do. That's something that people like to do. They like to serve. But when you get back home, are you still serving Yahweh with that same zeal that we have at the feast? Or are you letting issues and disagreements get in the way of the work Yahweh's calling you to? The reality is we're all flawed. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We all have stances on things, disagreements on other things. But we're all still here. We're all striving for the same goal, and that goal is Yahweh's kingdom, right? That's why we're here. The food is great. The fellowship is great. But that is not why we're here. We're here because of Yahweh's kingdom. That's why we're here. And we all have something to offer Yahweh. Whatever you think you might have. You think, oh, well, this guy can do that. He can get up and he can sing. And this lady can play instruments. What can I do? You all have something to offer him. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, or something else. We have gifts and talents. But too often, I see Satan taking pot shots at Yahweh's people, who generally are woefully unprepared for them. You'd think we'd learn, but we don't. That's a defining trait of Yahweh's people, is they're stiff-necked. So I suppose it shouldn't be a surprise, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't fight back against it, right? We shouldn't try to make it better. And today we're going to discuss fighting back against that apathy that Satan uses to keep Yahweh's people from fulfilling their duty and producing good fruit that is required. Good fruit is required. You have to produce fruit, even just a little bit. You have to produce good fruit. I don't know if it was one of my most recent sermons, I spoke about grafting, the grafting in process. I don't expect that everybody heard it, but I'm going to touch on it again for that very reason. In Romans chapter 11, Elder Randy touched on this as well, which I'm glad he did. In Romans chapter 11, 17 through 21, it says that some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among others and now share the nourishing sap of the olive root. Do not consider yourself to be superior to those on those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if Yahweh did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Now, this is an important reminder that, yes, we need to produce fruit, but we also need to check yourself. You know, you can produce fruit, you can stop producing fruit just as quickly as you start producing it. It is a daily grind to humble yourself and to produce good fruit. Paul understood this, and Yahshua knows this. And you better believe that Satan knows this. That's what my focus is today. We know that Yahweh knows it. We know that Paul knows it. We know that Yahshua knows it. Of course they know it. But the enemy knows it as well. He knows that if he can keep Yahweh's people from producing fruit, that branch will be cut off. He knows that. He was cut off. And he knows that branch will be cut off to make room for somebody who will. We need to sear this into our brains. Satan wants as many of Yahweh's branches to be cut off as he can possibly get. That's everything he's doing, is to try to make Yahweh miserable. And he does that through us. And we can't be caught off guard. Paul continues in verse 22. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of Elohim. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. So we need to remember that our position on the vine is based on how we perform, how we add to that vine. Don't misunderstand. This is not some exclusivity thing. Everyone is welcome on the vine. Everyone's welcome to be grafted in. That has never been untrue. If you go through the Exodus, if there's a stranger among you who wants to observe the Passover, you let him. He needs to be circumcised, but you let him. Right? And this idea that it's just like now, and that because of Yahshua, now we're allowed in. There's always been room on Yahweh's vine for these extra branches. But once you're invited and grafted in, we can't remain a dead branch. Dead branches are cut off. We were getting ready for the feast, and we were working on the grounds over here, and we were limbing all these different trees, right? We didn't cut off the healthy branches. We cut off the branches that were hanging over the dead branches that could hurt somebody, right? They weren't serving any purpose other than a danger to others, right? Those are the ones you prune off. So the question is, how do you avoid being cut off? Let's take a look at one of the parables of Yahshua, our Messiah. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And this version, I forgot to write it down, but it's one of the newer versions. And instead of talents, it mentions bags of gold. And I think that's more appropriate for what I'm trying to say. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. And to another, 1 bag. Each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey, and the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. Also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold, and see, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold, and see, I've gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Man, I missed the whole thing. Sorry. I was on a roll. Yahweh blesses his people, all of them, with bags of gold or talents. Talents is what most translations say that I found. In this context, I like the bags of gold analogy better. It's easier to understand. He gives his people free rein to invest in him. He gives his people free rein to invest in him. What are we doing with that investment? We can invest it for his glory, or we can invest it for, or we just dig a hole and bury it in the ground. The point is, he gave you this bag of gold. What are you doing with it? Yahweh's like a loving parent. He wants you to try. At least try. Everybody that has kids knows. Kids say, I don't like it. It's eating food, right? I don't like it. Like, look, just try it. You might like it. I don't want to try it. No, turn their nose of it, right? They don't care about it. You just want them to try. You have to try. If Yahweh calls you and you're here and there's something that you can contribute, no matter if you think it's just one little bag of gold, it doesn't matter. You can invest it. You can turn it into something else. You have to at least try to turn it into something. Even if you lose it, it's better that you lose it trying than not do anything with it. The question is, are you letting personal grievances, frustrations, etc., get in the way of your investment? Again, Yahweh is a loving parent, but he is no nonsense. As we just discussed in Romans, he has room on the vine for many, many people, but he will not tolerate our reasons and excuses for why we did not invest his talents or his bags of gold. He expects us to do at least the bare minimum with it. In the parable, it was just, give it to the bank so I can earn at least something back, right? And we can't do that if we let a problem over here or a problem over here keep us from moving forward on the narrow way. Yahweh's patient, Yahweh's kind, Yahweh's gracious, but those things do not give us an excuse to behave like a lazy servant. If it did, the parable would have read out completely different. It doesn't give us an excuse to live contrary to Yahweh, and it didn't turn out well in the parable for the lazy servant, did it? Not only was what he had taken from him, but he was tossed out. That branch was dead, and it was cut off. And now I imagine in that parable, if it were to continue, that servant would have been replaced with one that would have done the work. So now we've established what it takes to be grafted into Yahweh's vine and to remain on it and to partake of the nourishing sap, as Scripture states. But how do we do these things? Matthew 5, 38 through 42. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So this is very important, and I'm telling you this because to be humble and to be broken and to keep yourself in check is one of the best ways to keep Yahweh's plan in perspective. When we're humble and broken, we can see the forest for the trees. Whereas if we let Satan get a foothold in your life and use us against each other, all we see is the shortcomings of the other person. We cannot see the goal clearly anymore. We cannot see the kingdom while we're hyper-focused on present issues. So your brother or your sister wronged you, right? It happens a lot. Maybe they did something to offend you. Are you going to use that as an excuse to bury your talent? Are you going to use that as an excuse to hide the gift that Yahweh gave you? Are you going to let your branch die because this person irritated you or that person offended you, right? When Yahweh comes to collect, and he will the fact that your brother or sister offended you stand in the court of Yahweh? Will that be enough? Will he look at you and say, well, what did you do? What did you do with the bags of gold I gave you? He said, well, I was working on it, but this person said this to me, and I couldn't be around them anymore. I couldn't be around them anymore, so I just went off on my own. I'm done. I'm done with them. I don't want to look at them anymore. I'm done with them. Is that going to fly? No. The answer is no. It's not going to fly. We talk about Matthew 18 all the time. Is the fact that you were offended going to be enough to justify your place on Yahweh's vine? I don't think it will be. Is dwelling on that frustration, if a brother or sister has offended you, done something you don't like, is that worth hearing, you wicked and lazy servant? Put it in perspective. Try to take a step back and look at the big picture here. We have to look past things. Understand, we're not going to agree on everything. I bet it would take me 30 seconds to find something that 3 or 4 people disagree on. It's natural. That's how it works. We still have to work together for Yahweh's glory, though. It's absolutely essential that we work together for Yahweh's glory. Too often I see brethren get distracted and stop producing fruit because they're upset with each other. They decide, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not. I've had too much. It's too much. Have you gone the 2 miles? Did you turn the other cheek? You know? Over in James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask Elohim. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. These fights and quarrels over this and over that. Have you ever wondered why something you don't like keeps happening? And you want it to stop? James asked that question. What are your motives? Yahweh, why does this keep happening, right? Things keep offending me. I'm upset with this person. I'm upset with this person. All these people, they're the problem, right? When you present your plea to Elohim, are you keeping Yahweh's glory and kingdom in mind? Or are you frustrated? Is that your motivation? Because you're frustrated. Or do you want things to change just because you want it to be better for you? It's a completely natural response. It's not the right response, but it's a natural one. Or maybe you just want things to be harder on someone else because they made you mad. Yahweh, I want you to just fix this person, correct them, do something to them. You can't do that either. You want to know why Yahweh doesn't answer? Because your heart's not right with him. Your heart's not right with him. Generally, these things are just not worth fighting over. We have so much more at our fingertips than fights and quarrels over this and that. And I understand we're going to get upset with each other. But the message I'm here to give you today is not to dwell on it. It's not to dwell on it. Move past it and work for Yahweh. victory through virtue, right? Work for Yahweh despite those things. Turn the other cheek, not because you're commanded to, but because you want to, right? You want to, because ultimately their salvation is more important than your quarrel. Despite Satan's schemes and desires to have you mired down in conflict so that you don't produce fruit, because that's the goal. Does it get you to stop producing fruit? The infighting, the bickering, the gossiping, the this, the that, it's all restricting the growth of Yahweh's fruit. Satan wants nothing more than for you to bury your talent. That's what he wants more than anything, because he knows if he can get you to do that, he's got you. If you do that, he's got you. You're done. You're gone. There's nothing left for you to do. If you bury your talent, he is going to take it and give it to someone who will do the work. And I don't want to see anybody told. I don't want anyone here, anyone within the sound of my voice to hear that awful phrase, "You wicked and lazy servant." That's the worst thing you could ever hear. You don't want the master to return and find a servant that is not working for his good, but rather a selfish servant that buries their head in the sand, hoping to skirt by. "Yeah, I know you're a hard man, but I buried it. Here's what you gave me." It's not enough. It will never be enough. Verses 7 through 10 in James 4, take it a little bit farther. I think I had that labeled right. Anyway, "Submit yourself then to Elohim. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to Elohim, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before Yahweh, and he will lift you up." When you recognize this is happening, it's time to take a really hard, long look at yourself. It's really time to humble yourself, because your literal salvation is on the line. And we have to keep the proper perspective, right? We have to keep Yahweh's kingdom as our main focus. If I let my personal grievances with any one of you get in the way or keep me from doing the work of Yahweh, I will be cut off and I will hear those words. I don't want to hear them. The book of Hebrews touches on this discipline we all face on this walk, and it's a discipline. Hebrews 12, 4 through 15. "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of Yahweh's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because Yahweh's discipline, he disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. Elohim is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate." How does it go? Okay. "Not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but Elohim disciplines us for good, for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest, fruit, of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see Yahweh. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of Elohim, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." So this is the issue with the wicked and lazy servant, right? it's not just him that's affected. It's everyone around him that's affected. It's true to form with Satan. He took a third of the angels with him, right? He's looking to not just take one. He wants to take that person and everyone they're associated with them. We have to remember that we are all Yahweh's children. And as his children, he chastises and he disciplines us. And we need to remember that when we are in conflict with one another, we are all going through our own trials and tribulations. So it's easy to get caught up in the mindset that Yahweh has us solely in his sights. And everyone around us is being blessed, and you're the only one going through trials. My dad would say, "Let me play you a song on the world's smallest violin." That's what he would tell me. It's not just you. This is your life, but you are not the center of the universe. However, that does not mean you're inconsequential. You're wholly unique. And Yahweh chose you. You're here. That's something. That should be incredibly humbling. That of everyone on the face of the earth, you're here today. So when we take a step back and we realize that, again, we're not the center of the universe, our problems and frustrations are only part of the equation. It becomes easier to approach things humbly and pursue peace and get back to bearing fruit. When we call out to Yahweh for a solution, our motives can be pure and Yahweh can receive the glory. And these issues, these conflicts, these disagreements, oh, well, he said this, oh, well, they told this person that, they can go away when everyone puts Yahweh in perspective, puts the walk in perspective, puts the vine in perspective. All of those issues melt away as inconsequential. The issues are inconsequential if you let them be. Verse 15 makes an incredible statement. We just read it. "See that no one falls short of the grace of Elohim, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." So while we are on the vine, we have to make sure that we help each other stamp out these roots of bitterness, because these roots can cause trouble and defile many. We have to help each other receive the grace of Elohim. That's what it says. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of Elohim. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? Paul touches on this in Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 6. "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." Pause. One second. Now, does it say, this person did something wrong, now go take them out back and beat them? No. It says, you who live by the Spirit, which I would assume would be us, right? We should be living by the Spirit. We should restore that person gently. So if we see someone caught in sin, we see them doing something wrong, we don't beat them over the head with the Scriptures. You can correct them using the Scriptures, but you do so gently, right? You do so with a spirit of love. You help that person receive the grace of Elohim. Continuing on, "But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Messiah. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor." So again, if you find yourself in a situation where you're able to carry someone else's burden, do it. Don't hesitate. Do it. Help them receive that grace of Elohim. If you see someone who's doing something wrong, something you disagree with, and you can verify it by Scripture, correct them gently. Help them receive the grace of Elohim. However, you need to remember that if that person returns and they accept the correction and they're thanking you for it, don't take it. Redirect it to Yahweh. It's for his glory. That's what it's all about. It's for him. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Yahweh, right? And it says, nevertheless, in verse 6, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Who's our instructor? Right? Yahweh. Through Yeshua. If we see a brother or sister in sin, we should correct and restore them gently. But we should never let our guard down. I've seen that happen. Somebody says, oh, this person, they're off on us. It's a little cuckoo. I'm going to go fix it real quick. And then the next thing you know, they're pulled into it. They think that they go to this person, this nonchalant, they can just go in and, well, I've got this memorized. It's like a steel trap up there. There's nothing they can do to deceive me. And then boom, they're gone. And again, it's that pride. It's that arrogance. Again, tying it back to the grafting, you can't be a proud and arrogant branch because you're useless if you are. You've got to remember that your place on the vine is contingent on your performance of bearing fruit. And so if you're fixing relationships or dealing with issues, you got to remember that this is for Yahweh's glory. So if you find yourself constantly at odds, constantly frustrated, hurt, or upset with brethren, please consider that you could be falling into that temptation, and you may need to correct yourself. It's a harsh reality, but again, remove yourself from the center of the universe. Realize you're this little speck over here. You're Yahweh's speck, but you're still a speck. Your issues with this person and that person, put it in perspective. Put the kingdom in your focus. Ask yourself, do I want this issue to keep this person? Do I hate this person enough to keep them from that? Do I hate this person enough to keep me from that? I would hope the answer is no, across the board, no matter what it is. You may need help carrying that burden. If you find yourself frustrated, offended, hurt, angry, you may need help carrying that burden. And please remember, getting help and asking for it, part of that is being humble enough to admit that you need help. Admit that you are falling short. Admit that you need help receiving the glory of Elohim, that grace, right? Not glory, the grace, excuse me. And when you do have things figured out, even then, only take pride in yourself and don't compare yourself to others. That's so important. It's so important. I know everybody knows at least one person that's like that, that they think that, well, I fixed the problem. You can take pride internally. You can be happy with the work that you did for the Father. Internally, that's wonderful. But if there's someone who's struggling, don't rub it in their face. You know, that's... You just undid everything you just did. You've received your reward in full at that point. The goal of all of this is to reinvest that bag of gold, the golden nugget of correction, and share the blessings of that with someone who corrected you. And that's why Scripture says not to be easily offended. Because if someone comes to you and corrects you, and you assume they're just out to get you, your motives are wrong. You have to assume that they have your best interest at heart. You have to. Because if you don't, you will find yourself mired down with this. I promise you. I've seen it countless times. Somebody comes to somebody and says, hey, I noticed this. I really think you should stop it. Like, well, who are you to talk to me that way? Rather than, I had no idea. I didn't realize. If I offended you, I'm sorry. If I offended Yahweh, I'm even more sorry. If Yahweh helps you overcome, share that goodness with those who helped you. Build each other up and bear that fruit for Yahweh's kingdom. Revelation 3, 14 through 22. To the angel of the assembly in Laodicea, write. Let's see, where does it end up there? Okay. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the rulers of Elohim's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Ouch. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined with fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. We just read that earlier. Be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Again, tie it back to the vine. You're welcome on the vine. Every one of you are welcome on the vine. We're all welcome. Anyone who answers that door when he calls, he will come in and eat with them. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. We as an assembly cannot afford to be lukewarm. And everyone here, everyone watching online, you know, YRM isn't some exclusive membership club. We're just another assembly. We're just people trying to do Yahweh's work, right? That's what, it seems to me anyway, that's what Laodicea thought too, right? But they were like, well, we're rich, we don't need anything, you know. But ultimately they were lukewarm. All of these are different ways of saying the exact same thing. They weren't producing any fruit. They weren't producing any fruit. On one hand he says, you wicked and lazy servant. On this hand he says, I will spit you out of my mouth. I wish I would just be either hot or cold. Being lukewarm is the result of pride and arrogance and the refusal to acknowledge our shortcomings. And I don't mean this to be directed at any one person. This is just a universal thing that I think needs to be heard. Because I can't tell you how many times I've seen assemblies with just anger, hatred inside them from people within the body. They're sitting next to each other on Sabbath and they hate each other. It's sickening. It's crazy. Like, how does that happen? And we have to acknowledge that. If you have that much contention with a brother, you cannot bring your gift to the altar. You have to go take care of it. You are doing it unworthily, and you won't get anything for it. Are we Yahweh's people? Of course. Absolutely, we are. But that does not mean we now get the privilege to deny the issues we face. We have to rally together in brokenness and humility and humbleness and press forward to the kingdom despite our differences and disagreements. So this person did something you don't like. Big whoop. Turn the other cheek. This person angered you. Talk to them about it. Fix it. It makes me sick to my stomach to think of any of you hearing those horrible words. It makes me sick to my stomach to think about it. So as we continue in the feast, I'm glad I got this message in early. As we continue in the feast, I'm going to make a plea with you. Humble yourself. Recognize the good things Yahweh's done for you in your life. Give thanks to Yahweh for that goodness. Strive to produce the fruit for Yahweh despite Satan's best efforts, right? He's going to attempt to derail you, upset you, make you sad, make you weak. He's going to do anything he can to make that branch dead so he can get it cut off. Yahweh is the Elohim of, he's not the Elohim of confusion, right? He's the Elohim of order. And I know it's hard. And sometimes it feels like you're the only one that feels a certain way. But I promise you, you're not alone in this. I would like to think that if somebody came to you with an issue that they had with any one of you, that you would be able to take it in stride, to internalize the correction for what it is. Yahweh chastises those he loves, and we're to be like Yahweh, right? If somebody corrects you, it is because you have to assume it is because they love you. You cannot assume it's because they hate you. If you do, that's a root of bitterness that will take over your life. It'll take over your life and the lives of those around you. And you can't do that. You can't. And I know it's hard. But you all have something of value that you can invest in Yahweh's kingdom. And it's easy to think that it's only other people that have the five bags, right? Oh, well, I don't know enough. I'm new to this. I don't know enough. That's not true. That's not true at all. You can still invest in Yahweh's plan and reap the benefits from it. Don't bury your talents because you're upset. Refuse contention. Refuse bitterness. Refuse to be bogged down by Satan's schemes. And to quote Brother Javon, remember your kingdom potential, right? Hallelujah. So I pray that this message was a blessing. I really, really thank you all for being here for the feast. It's such an honor to be able to do what we do for all of you and ultimately for Yahweh's glory. That's what it's all about, right? And I pray that everyone online has a blessed feast wherever you're at. And if you aren't keeping the feast, I encourage you to look into it, to study it out, and prove it to be true. And with that, I'm going to just say, praise Yahweh, hallelujah, and I'll turn the service back over to Brother Jose.